This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
History in 5 songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to another episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good folks at Pantheon Podcasts. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this vast and always expanding Pantheon Podcast Network. We're available on Spotify, iTunes, and over 40 other podcast platforms. All right, this is episode 230. I'm calling this my Shadow Top 5, a breaks study. You will recall that the last one, I took my top 5 albums, and we looked at the idea of pre-choruses and kind of snuck in the idea of let's look at how they relate to choruses as well. I kind of always had it in mind that I would like to do this one on breaks. And then I started working on it, and Mick Phelan wanted to help out, and I said, okay, why don't you look for a break? You know, why don't you look for the breaks on those same 5 albums? And then I decided, nah, I want to look at some different albums, just make it a little bit fresher. And I also wanted this to be a shadow narrative, that, like I say in this title, my Shadow Top 5. I wanted to mention another 5 albums that could easily be in my top 5 albums. So essentially, across episode 229 and 230, you get kind of an affirmation of what my favorite 10 albums are, I suppose. But again, there's even more, right? There could be another probably 30 albums in your top. There's a lot of albums in the world, right? But anyways, the idea here was, and I had a blast doing this episode, by the way. This was really fun. But the idea here was I've got 5 more albums, and we're going to go through every song, and we're going to look for the idea of breaks. So we talked about pre-choruses and choruses. What is a break? A break is essentially that part in the song where, you know, it can serve a few different functions, and we're going to notice that as we go along here. This was actually really interesting. So the idea here is a break, you know, the standard reason for a break, right? Or the most standard conservative type of break, if there is one at all, and some songs don't even have breaks, but the standard kind of break is here comes the guitar solo. So it's the guitar solo break. And again, we're talking about our world, our classic rock world, right? And the most standard version of that is a guitar solo over kind of just maybe the chorus chords or the verse chords or something like that, where it's essentially no new music other than the guitar solo or keyboard solo or whatever, piano solo. So that's the most standard kind of break. But breaks can be, the next step up is you could have the guitar solo over some new music. You could have a noisy, jammy breakdown kind of break. You can have the, you know, the modern metal type of breakdowns, which is the big mosh pit breaks. So some new music, you know, often not with vocals, which brings up another type of break that we're going to notice here, where you get a brief instance of, and maybe it goes for 2, you know, quote unquote verses, but you get a brief instance of completely new music and some vocals, right? So it's almost like you get a mini little song embedded as the break, right? There are examples of super quiet breaks. So you go for a little mellow break where, you know, the drums drop out and, you know, there's some tinkering around, maybe a very laid back sort of solo. There's sound effects breaks, and we're going to talk about that a little bit as well. You know, actually, a good example of that is the Whole Lotta Love break, right? That's a classic example of where the song just disintegrates for a while sort of thing, right? And I wanted to mention, oh, I didn't make the note here. I should have looked it up because I do owe them tribute for doing this. This is somewhat inspired by, I was walking around the other day listening to the Europe album, Secret Society. That is one of the greatest metal albums of all time in terms of, you know, it's odd saying that, but in terms of, you know, I'm just walking around marveling at the production, the playing, the performances, the drum fills. But what John Norum does on some of those guitar solos, there's a song later in the sequence, a really good heavy one. There's a lot of Tony Iommi in his soloing and even in some of the riffing, right? Europe are just an excellent, excellent band. But yeah, there's this one song later on, which is one of the most beautiful examples I've ever heard of putting a new set of power chords, a new riff underneath Here Comes the Solo, right? And there's a great wind up to it where, you know, they're building up to this and then that music kicks in. It's just beautifully recorded, so heavy too, right? Europe are just the best, man. They're just one of the best bands with these newer albums. The best bands of that idea of they're making some of their greatest music now, right? So that was cool. And I actually went back and listened to the first Europe. I always marvel at the Frostcore nature of that one. And then, people keep saying Wings of Tomorrow, the second one, is pretty good. And I played it and I really did not like it, right? I still don't like it. I never did. But that first one's amazing. And then all the later stuff they do is amazing too. So yeah, tribute to that also for this. So we're going to go through these. And the other cool thing about this related to episode 29. Well, let's see if I can remember the exact title of that. Actually, I've got it handy here. So the notes are still kicking around. My Top 5 Albums, a Pre-Chorus Study. So this one's called My Shadow Top 5, a Breaks Study. So there's some similarity there. But the neat thing about this is I went in completely blind, right? I picked these albums and then I went in and said, am I going to find any breaks? What are they going to be like? What kind of breaks are they going to be? And I was amazed. This was so cool. There's so much great stuff that I found in here that is kind of interesting. So let's play our first selection here. This is Queen with Keep Yourself Alive. All your time and the money to keep yourself alive. All right, so July 13th, 1973, gold in the U.S., that's it. That's kind of weird. But yeah, so Keep Yourself Alive is an interesting one because, why not kick off with a drum solo break, right? There's not a lot of those out in the world. Nah, I probably could have found a bunch and made a whole episode of it, right? But anyways, yeah, drum solo break, kind of interesting. Then solo, but on the chorus chords, then there's a second break, right? There's that weird kind of funky, do you think you're better every day? Da, 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 and then it goes into chorus, right? So that's a very brief break. It's actually shorter than the drum solo break. But yeah, that was an interesting one. Doing All Right. There's kind of like a flamenco jazz break, you know, a what's his name? Randy Bachman, sort of a blue collar man, little section there. With vocals, and then it gets heavy and goes into this massive rave up solo section. So this is a long break. I want to point out, like last episode, we found that there were a lot of broken rules, like no choruses, one chorus, no break, many breaks kind of thing. And that's because when I picked my top five albums, they were complicated, substantial albums with a lot of really interesting creative ideas and rule breaking. There's a bit of that here, but I'm finding this was a really good, solid break study and that we're going to actually find a lot of breaks. But I wanted to point that out because Queen is one of the bands. We know the story behind this. They had this unlimited studio time. They just went in and went crazy and made this absolute masterpiece of a debut album. Probably the most accomplished, ambitious debut albums of all time. So there's lots going on this album. But okay, let's move on. Great King Rat. There's the slow, bombastic, almost new song that kicks in at 2:40. So this is almost 6 minutes long. It's about a whole minute long, and then there's this dark, tinkly music. So that's a massive, complicated, involved, ambitious break. My Fairy King. This one's nuts. There's like about five breaks in this. It's just part after part after part kind of thing. It practically breaks down. So the idea here is this song breaks down in terms of structure and goes kind of anarchic. Over to side two, you've got Liar. There's a solo section over some new music. So there's that kind of break. Then there's that rhythmic Santana thing, all day long, with the cowbell and all that going on. That's a pretty weird kind of break. And then it gets super heavy. So I guess what we're finding out with Queen is when they do a break, it's a pretty stark break. It can be very punctuated with pregnant pauses and drums. It could be very weird that doesn't quite fit because they're kind of like a proggy band, right? The night comes down, no break. Modern times rock and roll, it's a minute 49. The only kind of break this really has is a traditional solo guitar break. Son and Daughter, it's very brief. There's that I Want You to Be a Woman part, and then that ends, and then the end is a bit of a break. So there's just some kind of different parts, but they don't feel like, you know, boom, you know, verse, chorus, or verse, pre-chorus, chorus, break, back to verse, chorus, pre-chorus, right? That's kind of the standard version of noticing a break, is that it's really obvious and probably happens kind of once, and it's maybe between 15 and 45 seconds kind of thing long, right? Jesus, let's see. Yeah, this is a crazy one. So it's 3:45 long, but from 1:50 to 3:14, it's basically a very, very long break. And then it comes back just right at the end kind of thing. But it's that hi-hat and bass drum thing, and then it gets super heavy and up-tempo. So it's a long, involved, jammy break. Seven Seas Awry, this is just the snippet version at 1:15. There's no break in here. So that's your Queen situation. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. All right, back again here on History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, episode 230, My Shadow Top 5, A Break Study. So the idea here is we are looking at the concept and the nature and the different kinds of breaks in songs. Let's take a listen to our second selection and we shall discuss. This is ZZ Top with Avalon Highway. You'll be safer if you do. Wanted to mention again, I'm calling this my Shadow Top 5, and I went through all five of these albums, and I absolutely unequivocally can put these top five albums, like those ones from the last episode, in my top 10 albums of all time, no problem. Tejas is absolutely brilliant start to finish. There's literally nothing on this album I don't totally love. That's a really cool thing about Tejas. But as a break study, it was even better. It paid even bigger dividends, and I actually think that once you hear my little look at the breaks on this, and if you went and listened to the breaks, I could convert a lot of you. If you're inclined to be a ZZ Top fan, I can convert a lot of you into the idea of thinking Tejas is the greatest ZZ Top album of all time. I almost picked the break in It's Only Love. So you get this modulation to a solo break and different chords, and then you get that second break, which is even better, right? The second one is where you've got the stopping and Frank's doing those fluttery, cool drum things he does, and then you get a solo section over this totally new music again. So this is going to be the theme here. There's a lot of breaks on Tejas, and they're beautiful, right? Arrested for Driving While Blind, exact same idea. You get two solo breaks, but the second one is over that new jazzy minor key thing that goes a that thing, right? So again, I think of Randy Bachman, and who is that guy? Lenny Bro, right? Randy and his learning from Lenny Bro in Winnipeg and all that kind of thing, right? So you get a lot of that. This is an album with a lot of interesting guitar sounds, and mostly they're clean and laid back, and they can be jazzy or country clean sounds, right? El Diablo, you get that cool new spacey music thing that goes on, and then you get this pristine, gorgeous, crystalline, clean soloing over it, and then it comes back. So that's totally a break. So the theme here is, and this is what you're hearing, is that on these songs, which are really interesting to begin with, they come with interesting new music to do the solo break on. And what you're also seeing as a trend is only that kind of break. There's no real singing breaks, I don't think, as we go on, or any other kind. They're basically awesome new music with a solo break going on. Snappy Khaki at 1:30, get the new heavier music to solo over, and again a modulation. Enjoy and Get It On at 1:11, you get that slide and then the jazzy Randy Bachman chords again, and into a rapid solo section, more country picking. So beautiful, beautiful break. $10 Man is your typical at $131. You get new music to solo over. Pan Am Highway Blues, new music to solo over again. And this is where you get that amazing Hawaiian guitar solo, right? Just really, really simple. And it is so cool. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous thing there. Avalon Highway is brilliant. I mean, it basically feels like a break there as well. She's a Heartbreaker. That's the latest break on the album, I noticed. So the break comes really late, and it's a modulation to, again, country picking solo section. Really cool. And Asleep in the Desert, even though this one is just like a mellow instrumental, it even has something that feels like a break late in the song, where you just get some different chords moving around, and then it returns to the motif. So as long as this thing happens and it returns to the motif, I guess it counts as a break, because if you totally change the song, right, and you go out on that, then I guess it wasn't a break technically, right? It was new music. It's the song changed, right? All right, so there's ZZ Top. Yeah, absolutely. I would say, as an exercise, go through this the same way I did, and just go, you know, slide through your Spotify or your CD up and down, fast forward, rewind, find the breaks, and you will realize that they did a lot of really cool things with the idea, the concept of break. Okay, let's move on to number three. Take a listen to this. This is Blue Oyster Cult with Heavy Metal, The Black and Silver. Okay, so we're into Fire of Unknown Origin, June 22nd, 1981. If you've noticed, I've done these five chronologically. I've been known to say that Mirrors is my favorite Blue Oyster Cult album, Cultosaurus Erectus, but I've pretty much settled on Fire of Unknown Origin, I think, now. So let's go through this. The first track, Fire of Unknown Origin, where it goes to that sour thing, and you get the wind-ups, right? You get Albert on the hi-hats and the sort of the clumpy drum fill sort of thing. So where the music stops and it does that whole thing, that is the break. It actually goes on for quite a while, right? And Donald soloing over this weird stopped non-beat section. So that's your break in that one. Burning for You, the big hit, no break. Basically, it's just got the standard parts, and there's no real defined break. Veteran of the Psychic Wars, I was surprised. At 4:49, no real break, even though this is kind of one of the proggier songs on here. You know, the solo's over pretty similar music, so the idea is if the solo's over pretty similar music, it's just a solo guitar break more than anything. Soul Survivor, no break. Now, Heavy Metal, Black and Silver, the reason I wanted to play this one is really illustrative of a absolute classic break, where it's a vocal break. It's a new music thing. So here you get completely new chords. It's heavy rock. There's a beat. They're singing over it. So it's like a whole pile of new music with vocals, and then it goes back to the other parts. It's not particularly a great song. I think it's one of the weakest songs on here, even though it's one of the heaviest. But yeah, and even the break section, I think is better than the verses and chorus on here. But yeah, I like that one because it is the full-blown new song type of break. Vengeance the Pact. Okay, so this is proggy. It's proggy, so there's a lot of parts, so it's sort of like a triple break or three breaks, and none of them feel more prominent than the other ones. I guess the most prominent break in here, I suppose, would be the fast part, right, where it completely picks up. And that feels very, very different, right? And then the song returns back at the end for another chorus. But this one just kind of takes off into a whole different world for a little while and does a few different things. After Dark, there's a modulation to a solo section and new music. So yes, I guess it's technically a break. Probably the most amusing one on here, and I coulda, shoulda played this one, is the Joan Crawford break, right? Because this is a famous sound effects type break. I was just reading a quote the other day that said something like, the tape on this, putting all these sound effects and the bells and the ringing and the trumpets on this, that the tape looked like hair. cutting and splicing the old style tape, and there were all little bits of tape all over the place. So I thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, so this is a famous break where you got that Christina, mommy's home and all that. No, and all that. So there's a whole... Yeah, there's a whole pile of sound effects. This was complicated to put together, but it's an amazing break. It's cinematic because it is about a movie. This whole Joan Crawford situation, movie, book, blah, blah, blah. And one came after the other. I can't remember how it works. But anyways, it's cinematic because it literally is about a film star, right? And this troubled, her personality and Christina, the daughter and all this, but it's kind of a double break, right? And then it ends with Don't Turn Your Back, and there's not really a break in that one, I would say. All right, let's go on to our fourth selection here. Take a listen to this. This is Thin Lizzy with The Pressure Will Blow.
I'm letting it go. Pressure will blow tight.
Okay, November 1981. Not certified at all. This album didn't do all that great. Is this my favorite Thin Lizzy album? I've been saying that up and down, screaming that to the hills for a long time. It could be. Black Rose also could be my favorite Thin Lizzy album, but I'll stick with this one. Let's stick with Renegade. So let's go in order, though. Angel of Death, yes. So here's an interesting idea about the Thin Lizzy breaks, at least on this album, and I bet it bears itself out because, it's a patterning of psychology, right? So you're going to notice there's a lot of breaks on this album where it's the quiet, contemplative, the drums kind of drop out version of a verse. So it's almost like that quiet part in a concert, but it's quiet, but it's also sort of the crowd participation part as well, where everything drops out, and singing back to the crowd and all that. It feels a little bit like that, right? But so Angel of Death has one of those. So you've got that quiet, contemplative, whispering fill over the awesome Darren Wharton synths there. The hi-hats just doing eighth notes, right? And that's building up. There's a great tension there. But that serves as a break. And essentially, it's just a quiet section. I almost wanted to dedicate this show the same way with Europe, dedicate the show to my favorite Thin Lizzy song, which is the title track from this album, Renegade. And I thought, oh yeah, that's a great one for breaks. I'm definitely going to be featuring 30 seconds of that song. But that song is so complicated and so cool that it literally feels like, you can't tell what the breaks are. You can sort of tell what the verses and chorus is, but they mix it up so much and they do different arrangements of it, and there's this long kind of solo section, but it's not really solo. It's more like the best Thin Lizzy twin lead ever. This is such a magical song that it's hard to tell what the break is. So I'm just going to say, it was a fail in a way that I thought I would find a break in here, but I really couldn't identify what the break would be. Great song, though. The Pressure Will Blow, classic lead break. So this is the one we featured. So as you can hear, what happens here is all of a sudden it just switches on a dime. You get this zesty, summery sort of music when the rest of it was sort of menacing, right? So it just sort of stops and goes into that, almost Celtic, happy, celebratory solo section that you heard in the 30-second clip. So that's a classic one that way. Leave This Town. Okay, so here again, you get the, threaten to lock me in a cell box. That quiet, okay, bring the band back, let Phil do his quiet talking sort of thing. So there's a trend going on here. So that's kind of a break as well, that sort of trend of a break. Hollywood Down on Your Luck. There's a solo section over halftime new music, right? And then a composed twin lead, right? So this has a kind of a cool double break to it. And this is one thing I love about Thin Lizzy. When they know they're delivering you a very simple and almost fillerish sort of verse riff, Or just something simple that's just not as dynamic and cool and magical as what they would normally do, which I think is what you get with the Hollywood verse. They know that they got to dress it up. And this break is kind of regal and dressy, right? It goes to the halftime. It's got a really nice twin lead. So this is them pouring a lot of effort into a break. And you almost think in the back of their mind, they're thinking, we have to do this because the song ain't been so great so far. No one told him, no break. Fats. So Fats is not very breaky, but the interesting thing about this is it's a Darren Wharton jazz piano break. So that's kind of cool, right? Mexican Blood has that really cool kind of stop-start thing where you get the slight drum solo break, you know, let's go back to Queen, Keep Yourself Alive, right? So you get that sort of timbale-ish kind of drum break. It's very brief. And then again, you get the quiet verse, right? So after the timbale sort of drum break, you get the let's move the music back, let's quiet it down, and let's kind of do a little bit of lyrics, right? So that's kind of cool. You get that trend going again. You get that in No One Told Them too. I said no break, but you do get that quiet verse thing in that. And then now we're up into the last track. It's Getting Dangerous. No break, but again, the quiet the quiet verse thing, right? Which is kind of cool. So that's happening throughout this. So that's almost like a different kind of break that Thin Lizzy seems to like. And I wonder if a study of the rest of the albums, the rest of the catalog would bear this out, that's a thing that Thin Lizzy tends to like to do, is the quiet version of a verse, right? Kind of cool. All right, let's move on to our last selection here. Take a listen to this. This is Rush with the Analog Kid. Okay, so this is off of Signal, September 9th, 1982. Our last one here, this album went platinum. This, I've always called this my favorite Rush album. Let's go through it. So side ones, subdivisions, different music for the synth solo, but it's not really that particularly breaky feeling. So let's not call that a break. I picked Analog Kid because this is an absolute classic break that reminds me of the Blue Oyster Cult one on Heavy Metal Black and Silver, because you get that switch on a dime to that too many hands on my time, too many feelings, where you've actually got singing and lyrics go together over new music. So this is a classic full-on break. So I kind of like that. It leads into different solo sections, so it's almost like a double break. But it's not that different, but it's technically a break. And, you know, this whole long section of this, again, is technically a break, because at the end we do return just very briefly to that intro riff, which is kind of cool. Chemistry, no real break. It just has really interesting, distinct parts. Digital Man. So here you get Rush doing this thing that they do a lot. So this is kind of like the Thin Lizzy thing, but a little different. They often would do the break down to quiet music so Alex can do one of his chromatic, abstract sort of solos. Here you get this typical quiet police type break, and this is another definition of that word breakdown, right? So rather than the death metal heavy, you know, heavy breakdown, the mosh pit breakdown, there's a type of breakdown where you get quiet and you just kind of jam around. So that's kind of a breakdown, and that's what you get here. So Alex is soloing over this, very reggae, right? Over to side two, you get The Weapon, where you actually do get kind of the same thing. Synth solo over police type beats. It's very spacey, space rock. Lasts forever. It's slow. It gets noisier and noisier and noisier. So that's kind of a break. But again, I guess, you know, to describe what Rush is doing here, I guess sometimes they like the idea of doing like a really sort of casual broken down solo break, right? So it's not always new music. It's not always the same music as a verse or a chorus or whatever, but it's let's just do a goofy jam kind of thing. New World Man, no real break in that. losing it. No real break, although you get that elevated fusion kind of music chords thing. Well, I guess that is the break. I would say that's the break. Countdown. This is kind of interesting because you kind of get a break to a report on the blast off, right, of the shuttle, right? That's kind of cool. So this whole blast off segment with the spoken word in it and that is kind of the break. But it's funny, it moves into almost like, so another thing that I discovered kind of from this exercise that Rush likes to do. I noticed that on some of these other ones as well. Then Lizzy can do this a little bit too, but they also will play around a little bit with the arrangement and the chords of a verse. So they'll have a verse and they'll establish a verse earlier on, but later on they'll kind of do a slightly different arrangement, but it's still the verse kind of thing. But yeah, I thought that was a good one to end on because it's literally the blast off of the shuttle. So they're actually taking a musical break to do that. So there you go. I was going to mention some honorable mentions. I felt bad. Mick Phelan wanted to help on this. And, you know, like I was saying, what I had asked him for when I was kind of stabbing away thinking, okay, here's my idea. This is what I want to do. But then I get working on it, right? And I change my mind. I said, well, why don't you go look for some breaks in those same five albums I was doing? He did mention some cool things and he described some stuff. Down by the Seaside was a good one with a really clear break, from our original five albums. As he says here, it goes up tempo rhythm briefly before going back into the keys and hominess of the people turned away. But that break, that midpoint bombast, reminds us that Zeppelin never left the building. It makes the song. Very cool idea. Night Flight is a good one. So he pointed out here, you get that. You get that real kind of boogie woogie break thing where the music completely changes in this one, right? What does he say here? Slower rhythm, a bluesy middle eight before we get to the sheen of the vocals, the bridge, and add on to the song the extra chorus. In every good U2 song. Interesting idea. Zeppelin are masters at it here by slowing down and adding groove. It makes it more than heavy metal. Kind of cool. Megalomania. That's a very complicated one. He goes on for it with a good description here. Sci-fi inspired flanger guitar solo has gone before we know. We're back into the riff. That's why it works. We are here for the riff. The riff is Sabbaths and returns again and again, as well as the irresistible cowbell. That's actually a cool mention there. Delivering the goods. Break there. Evening Star mentioned a good break there. Pretty cool. And then looked at a couple of the AC/DC ones. Love Hungry Man, he says, this song has a break of sorts. First, we note the funky bass line, which leads the song very un-ACDC. There's a reason for this, though, at 1:156. The guitar riff mimics the bass. We have a lift off to something poppier and shinier, a little powerful fist-pumping break before the chorus. He might be describing what I called the pre-chorus in there as well. I'm not sure. Because these songs are not that complicated. And then he goes in a really cool thing on Dead on Time, which is an absolute classic, right? Pretty cool, but let me just see if I could find a excerpt here. The first one sounds like it actually runs away from Roger. He loses time. The roll almost goes off the rails. Absolutely, Mick. I love how Roger speeds up and adds this burst of energy to these rolls that he, these fills that he does in this album. It's absolute masterclass in production, right? These breaks sound staged, yet there's an organic quality. Maybe that's why jazz is great and the myriad of components. The wee breaks. I'm giving the drum breaks a fail, though. Entertaining. Interesting. I don't like the snare sound. Too flat and wide. Reminds me of a marching band high school snare. I need to ring some venom, some sharpness. Yeah, very cool, Mick. Yeah. All right. If you like this show and want to support future episodes, please go to ko-fi.com/MartinPopoff. Hit that red support button and buy me a coffee or a pint. This week, I'd like to thank the people I thanked last week and also a few more, because what I'm doing here, I'm going to be away, so I double stack these episodes. They did them close together, but we've got Joe Becht, Andy at Black Sugar Transmission, Lee Fordham, Michael Gendelman, Simon Hall, Dennis Lawson, Augustin Garcia de Paredes, Steve Polari, Brian Sager, and also since I did this just a couple days ago, Jace Music, Lee Clifford, Steve Polari again, Simon Hall, and John Olson. Thank you all very much. And the books, of course, are at martinpopoff.com. You know, we've got our YouTube channel as well, The Contrarians. There you go. Your homework for today is go see if I can turn you into a lover of that Tejas album, and simply just the narrative alone on Breaks should be enough to do that for you. Talk to you later.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.